This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Join us on Now We Consume. Take in the knowledge. Take in the laughs. Indulge in the topics with us. The Now We Consume podcast will take you through the parts of your day you normally dread. Why suffer through the existential crisis of life alone when you can do it with us? And now we consume.
So this is Pip from Now We Consume, and we're going to do a little special segment with some friends of mine. We're going to call this Ask Gen Z. I'm here with my son Josh, his friend Ian, Cade, and Sam. Do you want to go Sam, Samara? What do you want? Just Sam. Okay. Given everything that's been going on in the world, I thought it would be fun to get the opinion of some younger people and get their thoughts on things. So the first question that I wanted to ask was the general thoughts on the Middle East situation and any possible escalations to World War III. So, Josh, we'll start with you.
I don't really have too many thoughts. I'm not really well-versed in this enough to give any serious opinion, but I am worried more like on the side of my family, how this could affect them, and things like that. Escalation to World War III is a little bit terrifying because if I'm getting drafted, I'm losing a foot. So, I mean, just full honesty. Ian, your thoughts?
I mean, it's basically just the same things that Josh said. Yeah, it's just, like, I don't really have enough information to truly have an opinion on what is going on. But for the most part, yeah, I am worried about, yeah, like, my family, you know, everything going on. I am worried about, like, the state of the country, for sure. You know, what's going to happen? You know, the economy is already a little crazy right now. So, for the most part, you know, I'm just hoping for bright future, I guess. Yeah, that's about it.
I was about to say that was a good point, Ian. My whole thoughts on the Middle East is, like, the whole conflict is just, we don't really need to be in it. We shouldn't have gotten involved. We should have stayed here and dealt with stuff that is on our soil and not out, that, like, they didn't even involve us. They didn't attack us. We got involved for no reason.
So on that, let me, and yes, Sam, I will give it to you if you don't want it. Okay. So let me ask you a counter on that. Iran has been seen as a bully nation. So allowing them to get a nuke, would that change your opinion in the idea that if they got a nuke, they would just bully their way into a bigger seat on the world stage?
I don't think they would. If they had access to a nuke, I don't think they would intentionally, like, use it. Well, given a reason, they would.
Okay, I definitely feel like I have to step in a little bit. Okay, so if they were to get a hold of a nuke. But at the same time, like, we're dealing with hypotheticals now, and hypotheticals can be extremely dangerous for any circumstance, especially when it comes to a country gaining more power. So that's very difficult to deal with if, like, they were to get a hold of a nuke, and then we just start jumping to hypotheticals of, like, oh, they might use this against us. And so it is really dangerous to start, like, doing that. But I definitely understand the worry and concern for sure. So, yeah, I mean, that's just what I had to say. For
I mean, you could really do the hypothetical along with any other country. Let's say, I don't know, Switzerland got 16 nukes all at once. Would they bomb everyone else to just gain control? It's all like, you know, a massive what if. But do I think that they might threaten people with it? Possibly. I mean, Iran has always been kind of a problem country, as well as Iraq. You know, they're always, we always hear things like, oh, Iraq bombed Iran again or something like that. So it really, we'll have to see.
Going back to what Ian said, I feel like this is now boiling down to like more of a cold, like a kind of like a Cold War situation of like the what ifs. Like that's just how it's boiling down, is just to what ifs. Because yes, if they do get access to nukes, then I feel like Josh even said, like what ifs. Like if we're getting to the what ifs, then it's just Cold War to me.
I will agree with the Cold War side. That's actually a point that I had personally never considered, was that we're now entering the Cold War, essentially, for the Middle East. One thing that I can say is that Iran, having been a country that has always sponsored terrorism, allowing them to get nukes, they will use them just because they have them. And it's been their stance for many years. So them chasing nuclear weapons has been a reason for us to get involved in the Middle East for a long time and to support Israel. That's why we've been on their side for so long. Iran would use them if they got them, and that's been the bottom line. So we can move on to the second one. I think we kind of hit that one pretty good. Still nothing from you? No? Okay. All right, so the next question. If you were drafted or asked to fight, would Gen Z actually fight? Or could they even actually fight? In a war scenario, could Gen Z actually fight? I'll let you take the first one here, Sam.
Sorry. Okay, so I personally think that Gen Z would definitely fight back, because they have fought back for many, many different things already. Just from being, like, and they're not even, like, hit their 30s yet. Like, everybody in Gen Z is still, like, young. And they have fought back for so many things. Like, there were riots and everything back in, like, 2020. And then there were always, like, protests and everything still going on. Whenever they took Roe v. Wade, there was a bunch of protests going on with that. Because, obviously, it's women's rights. Like, who's, obviously, we would fight for that. And, I think that if we had to fight in a war, we definitely could, because I think we are so unhinged that we could just, like, go ham and just, like, not really think about it. And that's just my take on it.
I also agree with that. I will give the mic to the guys, but I have to say I love some of the memes that I've seen, especially, like, the World War III outfits, like the I Eat Ass t-shirt and the Hawaiian shorts. Absolutely would rock that shit, so...
So, like, the whole, like, World War III, like, outfits, I have not actually seen any of those, so that's funny. But would Gen Z fight? I feel like it just depends. Like, maybe out in, like, L.A., maybe they'd fight. But I feel like more towards, like, Appalachia, like, where the rednecks live mostly, would fight. And not to get political here, but the snow cone blue-haired liberals probably won't stand up to fight.
Regarding if they would, I'm sure they would. We have many, you know, climate change activists who are in their early teens. Let's say Greta Thunberg, Autumn Peltier. You know, they're young and still trying to fight for the world, to make Earth, you know, better for animals, better for us. So I'm sure there are many like-minded people who would like to go fight, you know, represent their country, you know, the world they live in. Because along with war, you have all those explosions, you have all those factories also doing damage to the climate. And I'm sure, you know, once that starts happening, it would start, you know, getting a lot of voices involved. Now, could they fight? I don't know. I've seen some big dudes, and if I saw them going to the front line, I'd give up immediately. I'm waving a white flag almost immediately. I have a friend who's about 300 pounds and 5'5". He ain't sprinting a 10-mile dash. Sure, you can hand him a rifle and put him on the front lines. He'd be good to knock out a guy or two. But you ask him to go dig a trench, he's getting tired after one swing.
The way that I'm thinking about it, thinking about if Gen Z, you know, how they would feel if they got drafted, it's just very difficult to think about because, you know, you're going into the human psyche of just, when you get handed those draft papers, you're essentially, it's not really like you're going to die, but there's a strong possibility of death going into war. And I think that a lot of people would just think about it as they're basically signing themselves to die. And I don't think that most people would probably be comfortable with that. I mean, it's just a very tricky situation. I think that, yeah, there are a lot of people that would fight to not get drafted. There are a lot of other people that would probably, you know, either jump at the gun or they would just bite the bullet and go. I definitely think that there's, you know, it's like a 50-50 at that. It's like a coin toss. Do I think that they could fight if they went? Yeah, for sure. I think that most human beings have the will strength. Now, do they have the strength to fight? A lot of people can't even do a pull-up, so I don't know. Give them a few months, probably, but I think they might have it. Maybe I'm gonna, yeah.
Going back to what you said about like getting the draft papers in hand, I feel like that's very like Vietnam, like just getting that, like getting the papers in. Like I feel like that's like, I feel like we're gonna see a lot more people like try to fight against going to this war, like if we were to have one. Like Vietnam, I feel like they just like burn their draft papers or like try to forget about it and like go out of the country to escape it. So, but do I think we could fight? Like you said, 50-50, but my guess is like, I don't think we'd all want to go.
Yeah, that's a lot of good points. The comment on the human snow cones was spot on. I think they would literally lose their mind, and those would be the ones that would head to Canada, I think, most likely. Burning the draft cards, I think we would see a lot of that. I don't think we still have the draft cards. I know I don't physically have my draft card, but I also already served, so I don't have to worry about it. I'm not eligible for recall anymore. yes, I have avoided that. But the capabilities, I think, are a little bit different. But like, I like what you said, Ian, about the finality, the possibility of finality of seeing your name on that paper. It is similar when you're volunteering during wartime. Now, when I went in, it was peacetime. There was nothing going on in the world. There was some shit, but I graduated boot camp the weekend prior to 9/11. So I was still there at my boot camp when 9/11 happened. So literally my whole enlistment trajectory changed. So I went in during no war, and 9 weeks later, we were going off to fucking war. And we were ready for it. So, but we'll go ahead and move to the next one. Are you guys worried about the conflict coming to American soil at all? There's been some talk about different styles of lone wolf type attacks happening, opening the gates to allow soldiers from other countries to flood in, from southern border, from the northern border, from other coastlines. So if that were to happen, do you think we would have much resistance from the American citizenry? Do you think that they would be successful at all? Do you think we would just run into more LA style, no, we have to welcome them kind of things?
I could definitely see that happening. You know, people from the north and south coming in. I don't know about Canadians. You know, I don't know how good Rockies are going to do on a full-on tank. Shout out Canadians. we definitely could see other soldiers coming in if it gets that bad. Depending on how they want to hit, maybe they want to get Canada out of the play early or get Mexico out of the play early by, you know, getting attacks there. But otherwise, it's a mixed situation.
Yeah, I mean, what you said, do I think that they could get on American soil and try and fight here? Yes, but do I think that they would be successful? Absolutely not. Because I think that, what was it, like on average, like every American has like, what, like in some states, average American has like three guns in their house. Like, I feel like it'd be very hard to try and invade while, you know, a lot of Americans, a majority of them, have, you know, a firearm in their house and can defend themselves for the most part, you know?
What if they start that invasion during the week between 9 and 5, when most of the armed Americans are at work?
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
You know, that would be like the smartest strategic plan in the universe. And I would have to just, I would just have to applaud them for that, honestly, if they did that, honestly. Yeah.
So I would say that, like, North and South, like, if they were to, like, try to attack us, I don't think they would be successful because we'd have home field advantage. Like, we know, like, our roads, our area, our regions better than they would. But do, like, going back to what you said, like, would there be, like, more like LA where they're like, oh, well, we, like, we'll take you. Some regions I feel like would end up doing that, but others would be like, no, this is our, like, this is our country. We're not going to let you take it from us.
Okay, if they were to happen to come in, like, during the 9 to 5, I personally think that their children would still fight back because I learned how to shoot a gun at the ripe age of 2 years old, so I don't think that that would matter, personally, because if it's summertime, your kids are at home, like, they're gonna shoot him, like, or her, or whoever's trying to invade their house.
So, that's assuming they can hear them over the headsets while they're playing Fortnite. But one other thing to consider, Russia, China, even Iran, all have containerized missiles that they have fired from cargo ships to soften up defenses. We do not have an Iron Dome system like you were talking about. We do not have anything in place to stop those missiles from hitting. Russia has nuclear-capable ballistic missiles that are in containers. They've already tested them. The coasts represent the most liberal and anti-gun sections of the country, minus some of the interior states. Any kind of a ground assault, that's where they would come in and encounter the least resistance. So, does that change your opinion at all?
A little. Considering the coast, I mean, I feel like we definitely upped our defenses after Pearl Harbor. I mean, we did just have ships sitting there and not much of defense-wise, and that's how they were able to get so many planes through. But I feel like after that, we'll probably do anything to prevent it again, because I remember seeing a bunch of news articles saying this is like one of the biggest humiliations we've ever faced about Pearl Harbor, you know, how we let them get past us, how we lost so many men, stuff like that. And I don't think America's very big on being humiliated, because last time that happened, we had several wars.
Like, would it change my, like, opinion on it? Not necessarily. Like, yes, Russia has, like, nuclear-capable ballistic missiles, but But do I think that they would, like, do I think without, like, would they, without a direct reason, do you think, like, I don't think they would, like, fire upon us just, like, I get to weaken our defenses, but do I think they would, without a, strategy, do I think they'd just, like, aimlessly start dropping ballistic missiles? No.
So, the last point I'll say on that, and you can counter if you want, America has been seen as the world's bully for a long time. So if everyone sees this as the opportunity to go ahead and start throwing a punch at us, that might be the way they do it. Start laying into the coastal cities where most of the population is, take advantage of everything, and then ground assault from the north and south.
So, it's about, like, Gen Z, about how they feel about everything, and I have been seeing a lot of stuff of Gen Z personally, like, texting Iran and being like, hey, baby girl, please don't bomb us, just take the orange man, and I just think that is so funny, and how it, like, genuinely represents how most of us feel about everything, and that's all I have to say.
Yeah, it's no secret that most of Gen Z is not a huge fan of President Trump. So we can pivot off of the war situation and, we'll get some lighthearted stuff. If you take war out of the equation, what are the general thoughts on the outlook of the future itself? Economic prosperity, job prosperity, housing and whatnot. Is it bleak? Is it all doom and gloom? Is there hope on the horizon? Do you guys have any kind of positive outlook, or is it all just, y'all are fucked?
Going back to the early teen climate change activists, I feel like there is a big movement to, you know, care about our future. More people are trying to get more livable wages, trying to get more affordable housing. A lot of them are really trying to get more involved in government. I always see, you know, people going to their mayor's office, making petitions, trying to get some change done in their city or state. So I think I won't know what the future is, but I have a little bit of hope in it.
Oh, man. Now, unfortunately for me, if I'm going to be honest, I don't have very much hope for our future. It's going to be really hard, really, really hard for us. You know, like, overpopulation and inflation and climate change and just everything going on, it's going to take a lot of work for us to figure everything out. And I don't know if a lot of people are willing to put in that work.
Never, don't lose hope. Like, that's, like, the one biggest thing is, yes, it might not be good right now. It might be, like you said, doom and gloom right now. But there could be hope on the horizon for, like, a brighter future. But my biggest thing is just don't lose hope.
So I feel like maybe, like, two decades down the line, maybe things will slowly start getting better. But as of right now, they're going to be really difficult for everybody because there is, like, quote-unquote job listings and everything, but they're only for, like, to say, like, put ads out so they get money back, not to actually hire people and everything. So it's really hard to actually get jobs nowadays, especially if you're, like, freshly 18 or if you're still a teenager and everything. And I feel like that one day it will get better, but it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of change to happen before that can happen.
Do you guys think there's any one big factor that's holding the job market down? Or do you think it's all just old people? You know, I won't disagree with you.
I feel like, yeah.
So people are being forced to work longer than ever before. So I will 100% agree with you there. Old people. Past the retirement age is, I think, still 65. A lot of people are working into their 70s. We just had a guy retire earlier this year in his 80s. He worked at the site for 62 or 64 years. So literally the only job he had after the military. We lost a lot of experience. He's a good guy. He's still there part-time on occasion, but that was a job that was being held up.
Along with the job listings, I also think money is a big factor. Some businesses aren't making enough money nowadays to support other workers, and other businesses have too high of expectations. You know, they want a master's degree straight out of high school, or you need this experience or that experience. And I'm more like, how do I get this experience if you're blocking me from getting a job? The only way to get experience is to start working.
Like you said, they're trying to like sift out like if you don't have your like diploma like right out of high school or shit like that. They're picking the wrong battles to fight, and they need to start like wising up to that and realizing that, hey, here's an issue, we need to fix it, not let's sit on it for how long and like then try to turn around and realize it can't be fixed.
Another thing is that unless you have like your foot in the door on certain jobs, like construction jobs or like trade jobs, like you have to go to trade school, and it costs a lot of money to do that, which is hard to do because you can't get an actual job. And it's really hard to get out of the food industry nowadays and to just like actually settle down on one good job than just like bouncing around and just trying to make money and survive. And that's just my 2 cents.
I do want to apologize to all the listeners during this. I know we are laughing a lot. It's because we are all very immature. We are speaking on a serious topic, but we are all currently messing with each other. We've all been friends for many years, so this is kind of how we work.
Okay, so I was just going to talk about what Samara said. Yeah, totally. It's really hard. You got a lot of people, and especially like in my line of work and what I want to end up doing in my life, you know, I want a tattoo, and that's what I want to do. And a lot of people want a tattoo, like a lot of people. And there's just not enough space for everybody that wants to do what I want to do. So there's like every shop is filled up and, you know, there's no space. So it's another factor like that. Like if you want to get into a certain job, there's a high chance that it's just filled. Like, I know people talk about the union all the time and how, you know, sometimes when you want to be a part of the union, sometimes they just don't have space for you. I don't actually know if that's true or not, but that's what I've heard from some union workers, so.
Like, going back to what you said on, like, unions and, like, having people, like, already filling jobs, well, I've heard from many different sources, like, firefighting, like, what I want to go into as a career is actually shorted in jobs. Like there's not a lot of applicants applying for fire stations and stuff. And like, they're like, it used to be like 100 applicants applying for one job. Now it's like one applicant applying for 30 jobs.
Bouncing off of what Ian said, I myself am a hairstylist, and if I did not do it in high school, I definitely would have not done it after high school because it is very expensive to go to school alone and to pay for all the materials and stuff after the fact. So I'm glad I got my foot in the door, but it also is also just very hard to like keep yourself afloat even when you have a job like that, because you have to base it off of your clientele. And not just like, it's like you can't just do hourly, you have to find your own people and do everything that involves with that, and you also have to pay for your space and everything, which is really hard to do on top of having another job, because in this economy you cannot just have one job.
Yeah, I kind of liken the hairstylists more to the gig workers just because of the way that the pay situation works. So I understand what you're saying there. Trade school, 100% support that. I know Gibbs and I are both big supporters of trade school. You can get in and out way less time, way less money than college. And if that's the route you choose to go, it is probably going to work out better for you in the long run. I do think, and I think we talked about it in our education episode, that trade school grants and education assistance needs to be made more available because yeah, the trade school stuff, the grants don't always cover it, and there's not a lot of student loan options that will cover trade school to the best of my knowledge. If I'm wrong, please call me out on that.
I know, I definitely agree, especially with, you know, loans and whatnot. You can get a loan for $10,000 and you'll be paying back $30,000. Loan interest are so high nowadays, you get a loan, but you're paying off for the rest of your life. I mean, I know some people, they got their student loans back in like 1980 and they're still paying it off now. And they're 60 years old. You know, I personally would love to be an engineer, and I am lucky to have a job through some incredible people that might allow me to actually go to school for it.
All right, so we will go ahead and pivot off into a fun question. I think that those have all been pretty amazing answers, pretty great. Oh, Lord. I made the mistake of letting these guys in on the questions. So I'm going to let Josh answer last, just because he's so ambitiously wanting to answer this question. Now, this one I felt was very Now We Consume centric. Will Gen Z be willing to date AI or robots in the future, or will that go to Gen Alpha? Sam, we'll start with you.
Thank you. I personally think Gen Alpha would have more of that than Gen Z, because most of the people in Gen Z are like engaged now and they like they have those connections and everything. But Gen Alpha has been born and raised on like electronics and stuff, and they're just like surrounded by that all the time. And I feel like some of them will find comfort in their electronics, like a AI girlfriend or something. And they
the thumping sound you heard was me attempting to smack the brown off of my child. He was attempting to go monkey boy on the couch. So if you're so into this, you can answer it, Josh. Will Gen Z date AI and robots?
All I'm saying is, if we have a Futurama-like episode where it's like Kidnapper, and we can install, you know, celebrities onto robots, give me the Lucy Liu bot, and you're never seeing me again. I got my love right there. Give me Marilyn Monroe. Give me Sydney Sweeney. You'll never see me again. So, I mean...
That sounds awfully like 99.8.
I mean, me, I'm more like a Sigourney Weaver type, but, you know, to each their own, I guess, you know.
Okay, Sigourney Weaver aliens or Sigourney Weaver Paul?
Both. Ghostbusters.
Okay, fair. I'll give you that. How about you?
I am not siding with these two yahoos. I would say, like Samara said, that Gen Alpha would probably be more along the lines of AI girlfriends. Gen Z is more like engaged in a relationship or trying to find a relationship. All in all, I don't think, like, there has been like news articles breaking that like a guy just got engaged to his AI girlfriend and everything. So Josh, I think that would be you in the near future.
If it's Lucy Liu.
So, yeah, do I think that, you know, people will, you know, date AI and stuff like that in the future? Well, obviously, yeah. Basically, yes, they will. I think that Gen Z, it's scary because AI is advancing at such a high level. It's so fast. Like, if you guys watched the first episode of this podcast, which you probably should because it's amazing, they do talk about, you know, AI revolution and everything, and... So yeah, it's advancing incredibly fast. Like within the last 2 years, we've already gotten insane like evolution on AI and how it works. And I can only imagine how far it's going to go within, you know, the next 2 years. And God, I can't even imagine like 10 or 20 years from now what AI will be like and what robots will be like, to the point where I think that it'll be like really close to human beings. It's terrifying to think about. And so, yeah, I definitely think that people are going to try and find, like, an escape from human beings by trying to talk to robots, for sure.
Okay, so I feel like people would find, I don't think they would find, like, girlfriends in it. I think they would just find, like, things to distract themselves with rather than actual connection. Because if you have, like, a robot girlfriend, they're never going to be, like, just, like, an actual human girlfriend because nobody's perfect. And if you try to find something that's perfect, you will never genuinely be happy because you would feel like the problem. And it's really hard trying to find that kind of connection with something that's, like, fake. Like, that's not real. And if they were to even try, I feel like they would just fail. And they would just go back to actually being in a relationship with somebody. Then, you know.
So, one thing I've been wondering about, do these different types of AI bots and maybe even the robots have any kind of possible therapeutic use for people who have been involved in any kind of domestic trauma? Is there a possibility that they could be used for some kind of good with that?
I feel like they could definitely be used for therapy and like something to like talk to somebody or anything, because most people before AI, they would probably just write it down in a journal or go to actual therapy, and this would probably help a lot of people if they could just like, you know, talk to a random robot and like get feedback and everything off of things that the robot has like heard and everything, and like base it on all of that just so they can help the one person.
I would say yes and no. Yes, like I feel like it would be good to get like stuff off your chest to like to an AI robot
and still get feedback.
And yeah, well, I also don't think the feedback would be quite right, because like I feel like you'd just get like a textbook definition or like just basically ChatGPT like responding. Like it won't be like a clear, concise answer. It'll just be like a broad spectrum. But do I think AI would be used for therapy? Yes. But again, I don't think it would just be like talking to a normal human, like getting feedback that actually connects straight to you.
Yeah. I just wanted to talk about one point first about Samara and what she was saying about people dating and how robots can't be perfect, or that they are perfect, and that people need to find, you know, like the imperfections in human beings, and that's what makes us human. I think that it's going to be really difficult for, or at least it's not difficult, but for some people, many people, and even somebody I know, my brother, you know, like he's never been in a relationship before. And so you're going to have plenty of people that are like that, that don't know what they're looking for when it comes to the imperfections in a human being. And so when they see a robot and they see it doing whatever it's doing to try and, you know, get in this relationship or acting like how it's acting because they're dating, they're going to think that it's normal because they don't know what it's like to date a human. So I think that that's it's going to be really hard for those people, you know, if they end up, you know, dating somebody in the future that's a real person versus, you know, they've been dating their AI girlfriend for like forever. But yeah. The therapy part, I definitely think it'll help a lot of people out for sure. I think it's difficult though, because AI, it's like the way that they learn. I feel like most jobs, or at least a lot of them, it just takes like learning and understanding. Specifically with therapy though, I definitely think that there's a more human side of you need to have those experiences yourself to sort of understand what somebody else is going through. You know, sort of empathy, they teach you that a lot. And I don't know if a robot will ever be able to actually learn empathy. I mean, I think that if somebody describes a situation to them and describes to the robot how they're supposed to feel, that maybe they might be able to get close, but I don't think they'll ever actually truly hit the mark. So that's kind of how I feel on the situation. I think some jobs they'll be able to take over, and some jobs, specifically like therapy, I don't know if they'll be able to actually help out. They'll be able to help for sure, like 100%, but I don't know if they'll be able to be like the perfect replacement for a human being.
My problem is in more of personal security. You have, you know, AI, but all that information is all going to be seen by another human being. You know, you tell an AI this and that. I tell people who are dark places, like, hey, I have these thoughts of suicide. someone can see that message and do something with it, you know, blackmail, whatnot. And if the AI gets hacked and asks the user, hey, what's your mother's maiden name? I just want to know to get closer to you. Someone's going to say it. And someone's going to tell them. And then that's how, you know, identity gets stolen. So I'm also worried on the security side. And also considering these iPad kids nowadays, you know, little kids who don't go outside bearing their iPads, they're the type of people who I would see to grow up to these AI daters.
Back to what you said about, like, mental health and, like, suicidal thoughts, and bringing that to an AI robot, I don't think would necessarily comfort them. Like, because I feel like they would just be like, oh, cool, here's a pink slip. Like, fuck off with your problems and not listen. Like, I feel like it'll just provide a cheap solution to a real problem.
Write a script.
Yeah, it'll just provide a pre-made script, or like basically hand you a pink slip, or here's the suicide hotline or something like that.
So as AI advances, is there maybe a possibility that it interacts in a way where if those kind of thoughts or questions are presented, it could prompt you instead and say, do you want help? I mean, with AI, like Ian had said, the way that it's advancing, we're probably not that far away from that. I mean, I just read something last week that said we're probably 6 months to a year from the singularity. When I said that in the episode, The Dark Trinity, we were talking 12 to 24 months. That's now been revised. So we're on the edge of the singularity at this point. True, actual, artificial, generative intelligence could be right around the corner, and it could be literally no different than talking to a human. So if you're interacting with a screen that you think may be a doctor and you don't know it's an AI, but you're interacting with them and you're getting human-like responses, AI has passed the Turing test. They did that not too long ago. So we have that capability now. So if you're talking to this AI or to this doctor on a screen, maybe it wasn't disclosed that it was an AI, and you're pouring your heart out like that, and then you get these prompts and it's like, well, do you want help? What about that?
I mean, getting those prompts of, do you want help? Do you need help? I feel like that right there is a clear sign of, hey, I'm not talking to a human. I'm not talking to a person that has imperfections. I'm talking to an AI robot that has, like, that is programmed to think that way, to think like a human, to think that it is a human. But do I 100% think that it's going to be like talking to a human? No, because like everybody in this room has said, humans have flaws. Like, the subject of mental health and AI, I feel like, will be blurred a long while.
Okay, so although it is like becoming very like, how do you explain it? Like, how AI has become very advanced, is what I meant to say. I still think that it would take a very long time for it to perfect how people feel emotions, because we don't all just feel like one emotion at one time. We feel multiple emotions at once, and it's very hard to describe it even as like a person, so it'd be like impossible to describe it to an AI robot for them to even like imagine what it feels like, which they can't really feel it because they're a robot. But like, it's really complex, because even like people talking to a therapist, they can't explain how they really feel.
So my question to everybody in this room, do you think AI would get to advance to the point where we would have like kind of like a Roe v. Wade like situation, where it'd be like my body, my choice?
Well, what?
Like my.
For the AI itself, like on behalf of the AI, like I am the AI, you cannot turn me off, like that kind of situation?
Yes, like kind of like that.
Like a control become human situation.
Yeah, like, oh. Can't shut me off, and also, like, if there were, like, yeah, in Detroit becomes human, like, there were, like, strip clubs, like, AI strip clubs in Detroit.
Loose the loop.
Would, like, I'm just saying, would there be Like, if they get too advanced, would there be, like, a robot Roe v. Wade?
Yeah, like a robot rights thing?
I feel like saying Roe v. Wade wasn't the right way to explain it, because Roe v. Wade was women's, like, rights, and that's...
The Roe v. Wade situation was a whole other box of rocks. Maybe the wrong words. However, I understand what he's... Will the time come when AI hits the point where AI gets the right to life as well? That's going to be a whole other episode, because holy shit. I think it might happen, especially once we hit that point of true AGI, and we fully cross that line. Once the AI is turned on, I don't think it will be legal to turn it off. I don't know. We'll have to dive into that.
I would just like to apologize for like comparing that to like Roe v. Wade, but again, like you said, it might not have been the best wording, but it got the point across. Legally, would they be allowed to shut it off once they turn it on? Would it kind of be like a life support situation? Like, do you legally have the right to pull the plug or not? So, does anybody else want to add anything?
Going back to maybe some of the robot takeover things, I mean, there are the three laws of robotics. So I'm not that worried about it, as long as we don't try to mess with those three laws and like add extra wording to it.
What if they edit the three laws themselves? So we'll leave that one for a whole other episode, because I think that's going to be some good content there. So did you have another final thought or no? Okay. All right. Well, this has gone way longer than I intended for it to, and much more in depth than I honestly thought that it would, but I'm glad that it did. You guys have given some really good stuff, so I want to say thank you for coming over tonight. What?
I want to say thank you as well. Pleasure being on your podcast.
Yeah, I wish I could have talked to Gibbs, but I'll have to save that for another time. But yeah, it was a pleasure being here.
Like they said, it's been a pleasure being on.
Thanks.
All right, guys. Thanks for hanging out. Hope you guys enjoyed, and we'll see y'all next time.